Well, probably all of you at some point have seen a cross-section of a tree and seen the growth rings, right? Growth rings can tell you quite a bit about the tree. For instance, it can tell you that this particular tree is not growing anymore because it's cut all the way through. If you need a second cup of coffee, that's okay. It could be a long morning. But growth rings can tell you a lot. So back in the 40s, that would be the 1840s, was when this tree started. But you can see for about the first 80 years, it grew very, very slowly. Tiny. So after 80 years of growing, the tree was only like 9, 10 inches in diameter. Not a lot of growth. But then something happened. Probably logging, clear up some open area, get some more water and food and nutrients, and then it started really putting on some good growth. Until the very end, when it slowed down again and a couple other periods in there. So growth rings can tell you a lot, and you can guess about some of the circumstances that occurred during that time. But that's the physical world, right? In the spiritual world, it's also good to grow. We're going to be in 2 Thessalonians. We just finished up our study of 1 Thessalonians. It seemed rather natural to go on to the second letter that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy wrote to this church in Thessalonica. And we're going to be in the first four verses of 2 Thessalonians. It was a letter that was written pretty soon after the first letter to the Thessalonians. And here is what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy have to say. It says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, everything was pretty much up front in the old letters, right? So we find out who it's from, Paul, Silvanus, Timothy. We find out who it's to the church in Thessalonica. And then begins the text of what Paul and the others wanted this church to hear. Now, it's interesting language that they refer to the church in Thessalonica. The church. That's not typically the way that we talk about church, is it? If we were to talk about church in DuPont, we would probably usually talk about churches. There's the Grace Works, and there's New Beginnings, and there's the DuPont Presbyterian Church, and there's Champion Center, and there's the Rock Church. Like, that's what we think about. But not then. There was one church. So if you had an issue, you pretty much had to work it out, right? You couldn't go down the street to the other one. And so there are some things that Paul and his fellow workers wanted to communicate to this church. And the distinction of this church is that it is in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes this church or gathering different than anything else that was happening at that time. That's what church means. It's from the Greek word that means gathering, right? Assembly. And so the distinction is that it is in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's centered on persons, right? Two out of the three members of the Trinity are mentioned here specifically. The Holy Spirit isn't specifically mentioned here, but we have God the Father, God the Son, in Jesus. And so the church is centered on persons of the Godhead and also relationships. Did you catch how Paul is talking about God and Jesus? God, our Father. That's a relational term. Right, having just celebrated Father's Day, it brings to mind all the different roles that fathers can and should play, not exclusive to all fathers, but head, protector, provider, authority, leader, teller of bad jokes. These are all things that are important roles for a father. And so there's so much behind this verbiage in describing God, because that's who God is. God describes himself as a father, and he's described as father. And the Lord, Jesus Christ, that's also a relational term. Lord, who we are to submit to. That's a relationship. And the church in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be in? I mean, it's certainly that relationship. There are a lot of analogies in Scripture that are used. Jesus uses the vine and the branches to be essentially in Jesus and in that vine. Paul likes to use the analogy of a body to describe the church, so that Christ is the head of the body and we're all members of that body, in that body. But it's also an identification to be in the family of God. There's one way to be in the family of God, and that is through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The means of that, how God makes that happen, is through grace. And that's what Paul says he wants more of for the church in Thessalonica. He wants more grace, as if being saved from hell wasn't enough, right? And it isn't, because God is gracious and wants more for us. And Paul is reminding us that there is more grace available. Our son had a birthday this last week, and we gave him some presents. Now, it's not that he deserved presents because he lived long enough. We love him, though. We want to give gifts to him because we love him and we want more for him. In the same way, God loves to give more grace to his children. So this saving grace and the additional grace gifts should lead to peace. The internal peace that comes from an identity of a child of God and a security of a sure future with God in heaven. This peace should not only be internal, but it should also extend to our relationships around us, especially within the church. As we've said many times before, peace doesn't guarantee fantastic circumstances. But it does guarantee the relationship with God and that sure hope, which enables us to move through circumstances that aren't pleasant in a way that honors God. So, how are the Thessalonians doing? Well, let's hear it in the words of Paul. He says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring." Paul is thankful for them. Their spiritual growth is an answer to his prayer. See 1 Thessalonians. Right? Paul is addressing his thanks, though, to God. He is thankful to God for the Thessalonians. No need to give him a big head. The thanks is directed appropriately. And it's almost compulsive. He says it's the right thing to do. Like, we ought to give thanks always for you. And that's true, because they're seeing incredible things in the Thessalonians. He says, "Your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." The church is not just growing, it's growing abundantly. This is healthy, super healthy growth. Big growth rings for the Thessalonians at this point. both in their vertical relationship with God, their faith, that's their relationship with God, and their horizontal relationship, their love for one another, as we've talked about the past couple of weeks. So they're doing well because God is gracious. The physical growth, again, in the natural world and the physical world, is expected. It's normal. Right? When babies are born, they're small. Okay, easy for a guy to say. But about 20 inches long normally, all right? Some smaller, some larger. That's normal. If a child was 2 years old and 20 inches long, something would be wrong. Right? Something that's not healthy. And if you're 20 and still 20 inches long or tall, that's really weird. Right? That's Ripley's Believe It or Not type stuff there. So that's the physical world, but the spiritual world should be the same. Growth should be normal. Growth is expected. We should be growing spiritually. There's growth that should be happening in the best of circumstances as we develop our relationship with God. We grow when we read Scripture and we learn about God and we find out who He is and what He's done. We grow when we read Scripture and we find out who we are and what sin issues we need to root out of our lives. We grow when we pray and see God answer our prayers. We grow when we talk about the life-changing relationship with God through Jesus with other people. We grow when we serve and explore the spiritual gifts that God has given to believers to build up the church and encourage one another. There's another kind of growth, though, as well. Almost a shortcut, if you will, and that's growth through resistance and opposition. That's the difference between a child growing in height by feeding and going to the gym and building muscle by working out. All right? Weightlifting builds muscles in ways impossible to achieve by sitting around in pleasant circumstances. All right? I've been a member of a gym for a while, a number of different gyms. Actually, at one point this year, I was a member of two gyms, and I was severely disappointed to realize that you actually still have to go to a gym to reap any benefits. But it's painful. Like, weightlifting is painful. How many of you have ever worked out or exercised? You're like, I am sore in muscles that I didn't even know I had. Right? Britain has. It's resistance and opposition tends to bring growth, sometimes in areas we didn't even know we had. And those painful times in life are what Paul refers to as persecutions and afflictions. So while there's growth that should be happening in the most pleasant of circumstances, there's also growth that can and should be happening in the worst of circumstances as we cling to God amidst them. The Thessalonians were feeling some resistance. They were feeling some hardship, but instead of letting it crush them, they stood fast and trusted God to see them through it. They accepted that pressure against them, and instead of quitting, they used it to build their muscles of faith and love. Again, their growth rings during that time were big. What would your growth rings say about you? I tried a little exercise and took the liberty of printing out some sheets for you if you wanted to take one at the back table. You could do this with your family, or you could do this in your community group. I think it'd be a good exercise. One thing I would recommend, because I got tired of drawing a lot of circles, maybe just do a quarter of the, that would be sufficient. But if I were to look at my life as a tree, this is kind of what it would look like. Started out very little growth because, I was a baby. Until about age 5, when something clicked in Sunday school, and I realized that I needed a savior. Now, my parents are Christians. I was raised in a godly home. We were involved in our church. And so there was a period, especially in elementary school, where I was growing, at least in knowledge. We were helping out. I was seeing what Christianity looked like. So there was growth. About junior high and high school, my growth got a little stunted because sin. So while I think I looked like a Christian to most people, I had kind of a secret life that maybe only my closest friends and maybe not even them knew about as I was wrestling, maybe not enough, with some sin issues. Small growth rings. Summer after my freshman year of college, I met a man who was willing to mentor me. Had a lot of patience. But he was willing to invest in me and push me and encourage me and train me. I started serving in some different areas during that time as well. And so I was seeing some growth. I was seeing what God was capable of doing. I was being exposed to different things that I'd never thought about or wasn't even interested in before. I met my to-be wife. She was the type of person who made me want to be a better person even before I thought about dating her. And so there was growth. And we moved down to Arizona to work at a church and to get some more schooling. So there was growth, at least in knowledge. There were some great experiences. There were some really hard experiences in ministry there. But all the while, some, I would say, slow, but some steady growth. Came back up here, floundered a little bit because I was trying to figure out what I was doing with my life. Where did God want me? What did he want me to do? Ended up working with youth and becoming kind of an accidental pastor of a church for a short period of time. It was incredibly hard, but there was a lot of growth. Thought I heard God really clearly as far as our direction, and when it turned out to be a little different, started floundering again, small growth rings. Because I thought, man, if I'd missed what God had for us, how am I supposed to know when I thought it was super clear? Wound up at the Grace Works. Through that, slowly starting to expand and in those growth rings. And if I'm honest, there's been a lot of growth. But probably in the past year, it's been really small. I've gotten lazy. Is this a good thing to be admitting to you? Probably not, but I'm probably not the only one, right? But here's the encouragement, right? This stuff, this is history, right? Your past growth rings can't tell you anything about what's going to happen next. And so the question you need to be asking now, regardless of what happened in the past, is what's next? How am I going to grow next? Well, what kind of circumstances are you in right now? Are they pleasant? Awesome. Praise God. Use that time, feed yourself, and experience growth. Use your pleasant circumstances to invest in others. Explore opportunities to serve. If you need suggestions, I'm happy to give you some. Talk to people about Jesus. Read your Bible. Pray. What if this is a time of affliction? Encouragement would be stand fast. We've got all our kid worship kids in here, so let's think about a scenario. You go back to school next September. I know it seems like a long time away, but it's not. You go back to school and maybe someone starts picking on you. making fun of you, maybe even because they know you're a Christian. Is that a problem? Well, it's not pleasant. But what if we were to reframe that? What if we were to think about that a different way? What if we were to think about it like an opportunity instead of a problem? Because not many people pay for a gym membership and go into the gym and are like, these weights are a problem. If they just weren't here, this would be so much more enjoyable, right? So what if you thought about problems or opportunities in your life that way too? Hey, here's an opportunity to grow. Hey, here's an opportunity to show something to this person who's being a jerk to me, something that maybe they've never seen before. Loving someone even though they've made themselves my enemy. What about an opportunity for other people to see how you handle that situation and encourage them and help them grow? And even if this person doesn't seem to care or respond to the love that you show them, maybe nobody else even knows about this situation, it's still an opportunity to grow. To grow in love, to grow in patience, to grow in endurance and persistence, thankfulness as you endure that. And I know, easier said than done, right? And some of you, many of you, are going through really, really challenging circumstances. In high school, it was the first time I had joined a gym. And most of the time I just used the machines because it was easier to hide my weakness that way. But One morning, I decide to do the bench press. And so I get there, and I'm looking around, trying to make sure nobody's looking. And I start doing my reps. One, and two, and I wasn't going to make it. And the bar started resting on my chest. And the person who was running the front desk came running over and helped spot me, help put me back up on the rest. Now, I was so embarrassed that I didn't even get to thank her. Point being, why do I bring this up? Paul is not writing to a person in Thessalonica. He's writing to the church. I think one of the great differences between opposition crushing you or making you stronger is other people. That's one of the reasons the church exists. The church exists to grow in numbers as more and more people receive the life-changing message of Jesus Christ, also to grow in maturity. And there's an encouragement that comes from being with others. Spiritually speaking, we need each other. The Thessalonians in this time, they have each other. And they also have Paul and Silvanus and Timothy who are speaking into their life through this letter to encourage them. He's writing these words to tell them to keep going. Right? A few more reps. You can do it. One more. One more. Keep going. One more. And they also have the knowledge that they are being an example and an encouragement to other people. Right? Paul is giving thanks. He's boasting about the Thessalonians and their growth to other churches. Not in an arrogant way, but in a praise God sort of way. Look at what's happening in Thessalonica. I don't think it's to guilt them into steadfastness. I don't think that's it at all. Paul is just trying to encourage them that their suffering is not only producing great growth in themselves, but also in other people elsewhere. And so if you are in circumstances that are not pleasant, you can rest assured, in case you're still wondering, yes, it is good to grow.